Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. NHRA hits the strip in Las Vegas. The Cup and Truck Tours run Martinsville, one of the best tracks in NASCAR. And we say goodbye to Sam Ard, one of the best in NASCAR and a pioneer in the late model sportsman series. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, April 3rd, 2017. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us for the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach, ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour. Let's jump right in with the Speedway Report victory lane lap and tell you who won what over this spring weekend. Mother Nature danced around, gave some of the racers a problem, but for by and large, weather was good. Let's go around the country and check things out. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series was in Martinsville, Virginia. Brad Keselowski was the winner yesterday. On Saturday afternoon, the NASCAR Truck Series took center stage. Chase Elliott was the winner there. NASCAR's Whelen Modified Tour was scheduled to run the Icebreaker in Thompson, Connecticut. That was postponed due to weather until this upcoming weekend. I wish them the best in a better week of weather and some long-range forecasts for Thompson, Connecticut. I've been to several Icebreakers over the years. I've seen them rained out, snowed out, literally iced out. And I've also seen sunny and 78 degrees. So springtime in New England, a wild card at best. Good luck to Thompson Speedway this weekend for the Icebreaker. NHRA headed west. They were on the strip in Las Vegas. Your top fuel winner was Antron Brown. Funny car by Tommy Johnson Jr. And pro stock, wow, Tanner Gray, 17 years old, takes down the pro stock ladder. Chip off the old block. Papa Shane pretty happy with his young son, Tanner. The Lucas Oil late models, well, these are one of the crews that had a little rain dance with Mother Nature over the weekend. On Thursday night, they were supposed to race in Wheel, Tennessee. That was postponed until last night. So they did get in the show on Friday night in Ringgold, Georgia, where Earl Pearson Jr. led all 50 laps for his first tour win. Can you believe it? In almost 2 years, Pearson Jr. almost taking 2 years between wins. Saturday night in Phoenix City, Alabama, Lucas Oil late models won by Scott Blomquist. No surprise there. And last night, they got that race in Wheel, Tennessee with Don O'Neill, the real deal, taking the checkered flag. Their cousins, the World of Outlaw late models, ran in Farmer City, Illinois for the Illini 100. Rain bothered them there. They had to move Friday's program to Sunday, so instead of a Friday-Saturday, they went Saturday-Sunday. Still, the big race on Saturday night, 75 laps, was won by Brandon Shepard. Last night's 25-lapper won by Brian Shirley. The World of Outlaw Sprints are still roaming out west in California. Last Wednesday, they raced in Placerville, California. David Gravel, a Connecticut native, was the winner there. Friday night, they ran in Hanford, excuse me, Logan Schuhart took the checkered flag, and Saturday night in Paris, Gravel doubled up again. He takes two over the weekend. Speaking of sweeping a weekend, two wins, USAC Silver Crown raced yesterday in Terre Haute, Indiana. The Sprint Cars raced Saturday night in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, and Chris Windham hopped from car to car, won them both. Got out the broom, swept the weekend. Windham takes the USAC sweep. And the Southern Modified Racing Series raced local to me on Saturday night in Concord, North Carolina, on the half mile. Brandon Ward takes his second straight win in that tour. Congratulations to him. They got a race coming up. Looking at the calendar, it escapes my mind, but trust me, we'll have the results right here on Speedway Report. So good modified racing, good short track racing, and that's where we turn our attention to. the world of short track racing. We lost one of the best ever over the weekend. Been in ailing health over recent years. Sam Ard passed away very early Sunday morning in a total loss to NASCAR, stock car racing, and really, if you look at what he accomplished and what he did and what he gave to the sport, the entire motorsports world. Now, you can look over his career statistics, which are now in the Xfinity series, basically the equal to what he made his career in back in the early days of the Budweiser Sportsman Series, the Busch Grand National Series, and before that, the generic late model Sportsman Tour, back when they used to run 60, 70, 80 races a year to decide a national champion, until that series took its current form in 1982 with roughly a 30-race schedule. You can tell a lot of people had respect for Sam Ard and paid tribute to him, but you can also tell some of the newer riders, younger guys that followed, that posted over the weekend with respect to Sam Ard, very respectful pieces written. You could tell they got their information really by the Xfinity Series handbook and his numbers there. He only ran a few years in the series. He got X amount of top five, X amount of top tens, blah, 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 blah. You can look up all the stats you want. But he ran late model Sportsman and that tour, what it was for decades before that, that it began in its current form. So I like to say the Xfinity Series didn't start in 1982. It did not, but really its current form started in 1982. It wasn't created in 1982. Its current form was. That's a big difference. That little word of form, quite the difference when you're talking about the status of the late model Sportsman, the Busch Cars, Grand National, Xfinity, what have you. His white 00, the Thomas Brothers Country Ham Oldsmobile, absolutely an iconic piece. Jeff and I were talking about the word icon before my show went on the air tonight. What constitutes an icon? Well, when you're talking late model Sportsman cars, and if you even look to today's Xfinity series, absolutely, that white number 00, an icon in this series. He's just an absolutely legendary name for that tour. To me, he was always kind of like a far-off mystical type of guy. I grew up in New England and read a lot about him. Magazines, trade papers, regular listeners and watchers to the show know what kind of guy I am. Not much into stick and ball. Couldn't tell you a thing about it my whole life. Read all the magazines and trade papers. Week to week, Sam Ard's name was in there. I felt like I was reading about, you know, a foreign land, these big superstars down south. I was very familiar with the modifieds, grew up watching them in person, reading about them when I did not go to the race, even if I did go to the race. The late model Sportsman cars were, might as well have been a universe away. As they, I'm in my teens, 10 years old, 15 years old, that time frame, and I'm reading about this fantastic racing going on in the South, thinking of, well, Sam Ard, then you pile on the names, the Tommy Ellis, Tommy Houston, Jack Ingram, so many more. I can rattle off so many names are slipping my mind right now. Gene Glover is another one. I could go on and on about racing, about these late model Sportsman guys. And they were mystical creatures to me. These guys far away, don't know who they are, but I could tell in the South, they were every bit as big and every big as much heroes as Richie Evans, Eddie Flemke, and Ronnie Bouchard to me up north. To, you know, a Richie Evans up north, there was a Sam Ard down south. To a Ronnie Bouchard up north, we had a Tommy Houston down south. I could see the relationship, even though these guys were hundreds or sometimes thousands of miles away at the racetracks here in the South, and I never got a chance to see them in that era in person, but saw a lot of photographs, read a lot of stories, and was pretty well familiar with who they were. The current series, as we know, we talk about the Xfinity series, began in 1982 in its current form. The championship that first year won by Jack Ingram. Sam Ard was a runner-up to Ingram in that first year. Then he was the champion 1983-1984. His final drive behind the wheel, 1984 in the fall, Rockingham. We're all familiar with it. Racers Reunion members are for sure. That devastating crash in turn three at Rockingham pretty much ended his career on the spot. That same type of crash, that right front violent, violent hard hit, the same time we're all familiar with the basal skull fractures that Dale Earnhardt passed away from, Adam Petty, Kenny Irwin, those massive hits that hit on the right front of the car. Driver goes forward and suffers a severe head injury. Sam certainly did that. He went on from there to end his driving days, continued with the Busch Series as a team owner. One of his first drivers ever, Jeff Burton. Yeah, not everybody remembers that. Jeff Burton got his very first win in the Busch Series driving for Sam Ard. As time marches on, obviously sponsorship issues came calling, as they do with so many team owners. His health also deteriorated over the years, and he largely retired and got out of the car ownership business. His deteriorating health, he started fighting Alzheimer's, started fighting Parkinson's disease, and his health just got worse and worse as years go by. His story came to light in the mid-2000s of financial troubles. He was not living in the lap of luxury by any means, was selling off a lot of racing memorabilia just to make ends meet. This is another topic altogether about drivers being independent contractors versus what NASCAR should or should not do. Maybe we'll go down that road on another broadcast. I know I'm aware of it. I know you guys are aware of it. I'm going to skip over that tonight purposely. His health deteriorated as he got older, as the years clicked by. This is where I want to pick up my own personal connection with the Ard family. I was a NASCAR team member until 2008. Like so many others, found myself unemployed with the housing bubble burst. In, I would say, late 2008, early 2009, I took fingers to keyboard, started writing, started getting my broadcasting career off the ground as well. One of the writers I really took a shine to and have followed my whole life, dating back to what I talked about a few minutes ago with trade papers and magazines reading about late model sportsman guys, is one of the writers, Bones Boussier. Been a guest on the show a few times, still look up to him, well known in racing circles, still writing books, still writing for magazines, writes for Speed Sport News. Coastal181.com has a lot of books and products that he's written over the years about racing. And one of my favorite books ever is the one called Richie, a story of Richie Evans. One of the, you know, that iconic story of the guy that performed on the racetrack and is just as much fun off the racetrack. Interesting person, interesting guy. My idea was to write a similar book, similar format, but I wanted to do it on Sam Ard. I started writing for websites in 2009, started getting a little bit of a career going, started getting some traction, wanted to take on this book project. Was it possible? Yes, it was. Not knowing Bones forever, ever met him other than he's a name, right? That I read on the bylines for week after week in so many years. I looked him up in Indianapolis, called him up, introduced myself over the phone. Since that time, he and I have become pretty good friends, even though I read his work for decades. But in the last, 8-10 years, we have become pretty good friends, with spending a lot of time here in Charlotte and a lot more time in Indianapolis together every year. So we talked, and I really picked his brain, told him what my idea was, and we looked for a publisher for the book. Had a publisher interested in the book, and I went ahead, looked up the Ard household down in South Carolina where they were, and dialed it. I called, introduced myself, said, I am interested in writing this type of a book about Sam. Talked to Mrs. Ard, Joe Ard, his wife. Wonderful, wonderful woman. Wonderful, wonderful family. We traded phone calls back and forth. In 2009, in May, when the Southern 500 was still run on Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, Mother's Day weekend, I beg your pardon, I went to Darlington and met with the family at the Speedway, and we had a very nice long conversation about the book project. The next month, I remember Father's Day 2009, I got up on Sunday morning, I drove to their house, and I spent Father's Day 2009 with Sam Ard and his entire family. It was a wonderful memory for me as we kicked around ideas, photos, topics of the book, which way to go, how we would do it. Nothing specific set in stone, but just spending time with the family, getting to know these people, and hopefully, possibly, maybe doing this book. Unfortunately, as time went on, the publisher that we had in mind for them declined to go any further with it. So the book project never really got off the ground. It hit a crossroads for me personally. A book is such a tremendous commitment. It is often like racing. You need to bring money to a publisher. That's how the business works for this. There has to be somebody paying for it. Much like being a race car driver, owning a race team, if you want to put a book on the shelf, someone's got to pay for it. If you want to put a race car on the track, somebody's got to pay for it. And we really just could never get that done. Could I have done the book myself? Maybe. With that big of a commitment, the time, the energy, the effort to do it, I haven't and I couldn't. I don't know if I ever will or I ever could. I'd sure like to, but to commit to a book without a publisher in hand is a tremendous sacrifice and undertaking. Haven't done it. I don't know if I will ever do it, but the idea is certainly there. And if there was any way possible in 2017, looking back to 2009, I would have loved at some point to have this book in print and tell the story. As Bones told me, you don't do this stuff for money or for the paycheck. You really need to do it as a labor of love and as a writer wanting to tell the racing story and talk about this sport, relay that story. I still would love to do it. So to Mrs. Ard, Joe Ard, I used to call Sam Ard Sam, but I called Joe Ard, his wife, I called her Mrs. Ard. So to Mrs. Ard and his children, Melinda, Robert, Sharon, and Joanne, my heartfelt condolences to all of you, and Godspeed to Sam Ard. We will miss you. He was a wonderful, wonderful man and an absolute legend and pioneer in NASCAR and stock car racing. A little information on the services. If you're here in the Southeast, tomorrow, Tuesday, I got a little info from 6 to 8 tomorrow night. There is a visitation at the Stoddenmeyer Dowling Funeral Home in Florence, South Carolina. And then funeral services for Sam will be Wednesday, 11 a.m., same place, same location in Florence, South Carolina. Stepping up to a much more, well, not necessarily a more inspiring story, but a more uplifting story I'll talk about. Got to give an attaboy, Big Tony Stewart, behind the wheel of a race car over the weekend. He won a sprint car race on the dirt over the weekend in Ocala, Florida. Since he retired from NASCAR, this is the first time that he has stepped in victory lane. But the bigger story here, Stewart stepping behind the wheel of a race car, he's done that before. He won, has not done that before. Here we go. He donated all his winnings from the two-night Ocala program to Dave Steele's family. That is Tony Stewart. You can criticize him all you want. It is justified. You can have your opinion. Love him, like him, hate him. This is the kind of thing that he does not advertise. He doesn't make a big fuss about this. Not a big PR man when it comes to this. There's so many stories of Tony Stewart over the years of him taking care of this, making these gestures to fellow racers and the public and taking care of children. Dave Steele's family got a very nice donation from Tony Stewart over the weekend. His winnings from the sprint car race, as well as for two nights down there, Dave Steele's family getting taken care of by Tony Stewart. This is the type of stuff you don't read in the headlines all the time when you're trolling Twitter or Facebook looking for racing news. Let's spend a few minutes talking about Martinsville over the weekend. Still looking at these stages week to week with the Cup Series. We had them in the Truck Series as well. The racing when the green and white checkered flag waves for these stages, yeah, it's good. It's intense. These guys are really fighting it out, much like the four-way tie for the national championship. I just find it artificial. We're looking at almost three smaller races that guys are making strategy for, that crew chiefs and teams are. I'm an endurance guy. This is what you did. You ran your 20 and 30 lappers on Saturday night. You moved up to a touring series like a late model sportsman type car. You ran your 100s and your 200s, and when you ran for Sunday money, your 4 and 500 milers on Sunday afternoon, endurance was the name of the game. Middle of the race, we didn't know whether we'd get a lot of caution flags. We might. We might not get any caution flags. We might go green to checker. We don't know. I'm still not a fan of these stages. Yes, on paper, on my TV screen yesterday from Martinsville, as the stages came to a close, they were very intense, very exciting racing for what they were. I just think it was an artificial point in the race. That's what we're getting too much of in NASCAR. That is transferring over to those empty seats. You looked at the crowd yesterday. Let's not say it was empty. It wasn't. Were there plenty of empty seats? Yes. You could have walked up there to the ticket booths after gentlemen start your engines, and you could have had yourself a pretty good seat. I am happy to see Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski duke it out yesterday without a candy-ass bump and run. I'm not a fan of that. Never have been, never will be. Real racers don't do that. They race each other. They drive around and pass each other. We saw that yesterday. Busch and Keselowski, they actually passed each other. Didn't dump each other. I thought it was a good deal. Talk with Jeff Fuller over the weekend. Remember him, Modified Star, also a winner of a few Busch Series races. Yeah, talked to him. Shared my thoughts is that of all the tracks on the Cup Tour, you may get a good race. You may get a bad race. You never know. Play the odds. What is the best shot you have of getting a good race on the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Tour? Bingo. We had it yesterday. What track? You got it. Martinsville, Virginia. That's the place where I would take someone if we're looking for a good race. I'm playing the odds with that one. Couple quick notes. Jeff Oakley has been indefinitely suspended from the Cars Tour after the event at Dominion Raceway a couple of weeks ago. Engine violation. Supposed to be crate engines on the Cars Tour. His engine dynoed at a whole lot more horsepower than the rest of the tour did. He declined to have the engine tore down. He's been disqualified. The wins got taken away. Nothing against Oakley, but I prefer a sanctioning body doing that. Let's DQ guys that do not pass tech, as opposed to letting them keep the win, then issuing a penalty. A little bit of a prayer offering for Jameson Minor. He died from injuries suffered at the dirt track here in Charlotte over the weekend. Motorcycle flat track racer. We don't do too much coverage of the bikes, more of the full-wheeled variety here on Speedway Report. But a racer is a racer. Our prayers go out to Jameson Minor. I'm good with that. One more. I've got my props. They went away. I cleaned up the office here a little bit. Speedway Report, stickers and magnets. Need them on your bumper or the fridge? Need a sticker? Need a magnet? Yeah, we got them. All you guys connected to me on social media, simply DM me your address. Send me your address. Postage, shipping, and the stickers and the magnets are on us. Time to roll out of here, folks. In between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. Our Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. You can see my smiling face on the top ribbon. Just click on the TV icon and you can watch tonight's show and archived programs. We also have columns posted from Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and myself. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for your outstanding production work tonight. Jeff and the Racers Reunion family will be back Tuesday night tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History. We affectionately call it the Goat Rodeo. You can get your fake news legendorial there as well. So don't miss Racers Reunion tomorrow night. Don't forget Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern Time on Racers Reunion Radio. Thank you for everyone on the chat rooms for tuning in. While I'm talking to you guys here on the camera, I can see the messages pop up on the corner of my screen. A little tough to juggle too much right now, but believe me, I see them. Love you guys, and I appreciate you sticking with us tonight. Our Racers Reunion Network produces live content Monday and Tuesday. If you want to catch a replay, just tune in at racersreunion.com, and you can hear the replays 24/7 right up until the next Monday when we have brand new programming. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless, and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour with Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat.